بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وبارك على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we wish to briefly discuss the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghafari رضي الله عنه، which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال، Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال، اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع سي حسنة تمهوها وخالق الناس بخلق الحسن. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated, fear Allah wherever you may be. Fear Allah wherever you may be. And follow a bad deed with a good, for indeed it wipes it out. And have good dealings with the people. Shaykhana Shaykh Ubaid, rahimahullah, he mentioned in relation to this particular narration, that this narration itself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outlines three pivotal advices for the companions that were present with him at the time, yani bil khusus, yani specifically, wa umuman, generally for the ummah as a whole. The first advice within the narration was to fear Allah wherever you may be. Taqa Allah haith makum. This advice for taqwa, بمعنى لازم التقوى في كل مكان وزمان. I adhere to taqwa irrespective of time or place, wherever you may be. And so this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not state that the fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is only, for example, in the Muslim lands. In the Muslim lands, the fear of Allah. Or the fear of Allah ta'ala is heightened when we're in non-Muslim lands, because we're on God. No, rather, we fear Allah ta'ala in every time, every place. This advice as well from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one that we should also bear in mind, especially in this time and now, this month of Ramadan, where we should understand that this malazima to taqwa, that an individual adhering to taqwa should not be specified only for this month of Ramadan. No doubt this month is an opportunity, is a fursa for us to increase our righteous actions. And it may be that this month allows us to leave off evil habits they may have fallen into, and evil sinful acts they may have fallen into. However, we do not restrict this affair of taqwa to this month. Sheikh Ubaid, rahimahullah, goes on to mention that taqwa is of three types. The fear of Allah and his piety is of three types. At-taqwa fi ma'murat, at-taqwa fi manhiyat, wa at-taqwa fi mushtabihat. So he mentions, rahimahullah, that taqwa is in the commands of Allah. The Allah Ta'ala commands with affair upon his piety in order to fulfill those commands. Upon the individual is taqwa when it comes to the manhiyat, the things that have been prohibited, ayin muharramat. And upon the individual is taqwa when it comes to the doubtful matters. Some Ahlul Ilm, they describe the doubtful matters to be the affairs that within the Akhirah, they won't benefit you. I actions that if you were to do them, it will not benefit you in the Akhirah. However, it may come to harm you. It's doubtful. You don't know whether it's haram or not. But you know, it's not, but you know that it's not from the umur al-ma'jura. It's not from the affairs that will benefit you in terms of ajr. So the person must adhere to taqwa, piety, in order to stay away from those doubtful matters. And these three categories is based upon the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, إِنَّ حَلَالَ بَيْنُ وَإِنَّ حَرَامَ بَيْنُ وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْرِفُهُنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Indeed, the halal is clear, indeed, the haram is clear. And between them are doubtful affairs that many of the people do not know. So based upon these three matters mentioned in that hadith, we understand how a person adheres to the taqwa of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The second advice for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within the narration was to follow a bad deed with a good, for indeed it wipes it out. Again, Shaykh Ubayd, rahimahullah, he mentions that the dhunub, the sins, as we discussed in the last sitting yesterday, that the sins are of two types. You have the kabair al-dhunub wa sagairuha. The major sins are those sins that have a particular punishment ascribed to them, whether it be the punishment in the dunya or the akhirah, or action that has the mention of the la'an ascribed to it, yani the curse of Allah ascribed to it. And there's other mention as well where there is a comparison to the abode of the shayateen ascribed to it. And so these are the major sins. But by doing the dhalik, maybe that they regard it from the minor sins. And so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to the person following a bad deed with a good, for indeed it wipes it out, then no doubt the bad deed, if it's referring to those minor sins, then the individual follows it with any righteous action. He follows that minor sin and that minor transgression with any action in order to wipe it out, in any action of obedience. As for the major sins, then the Shaykh Ubayd, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that the major sin that needs to be followed in that regard, or the major sin that needs to be followed by a righteous action in that regard, is a tawbah to musulah. A specific righteous action. A sincere repentance. That the person, he repents to Allah Ta'ala with the azimah, with the determination not to return to that sin. He repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nadam, with regret for falling into that sin. And no doubt, he returns and he repents to Allah ta'ala whilst he has cut off that sin. Shaykh al-Baz, he mentions as well, rahimahullah, whilst it's not a condition for tawbah, that which aids a person in their tawbah and may aid their tawbah to be even more complete, is that he cuts off any of the means that led him to fall into the sin in the first place. So the person is tied with Allah, he repents to Allah, he cuts off the things that led him to fall into that sin as well. The third advice mentioned within this narration is the good dealings that should be had with the people, the good treatment to be had with the people. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned likewise, but if لِأَتِبَّ مَكَرَمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I've been sent to perfect the noble characteristics. And so no doubt, ourselves as individuals, upon us is to adhere to good mannerisms. Good mannerisms, when indeed this is what adorns our actions, generally speaking. Good mannerisms, for indeed, as mentioned, this is what the Prophet ﷺ was sent to perfect. And our manners, no doubt, begin with our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the correct adab, a correct manner with our Lord, and our correct manner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have that correct creed, to worship Him alone, to not associate anything partnership with Him. We make dua to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Our good manners, when it comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is no doubt adhering to his sunnah. Following Allah ta'ala and following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clinging to that sunnah. and leaving off all of the umur, al-muhlifa, the newly invented affairs. And thus likewise as well, the person needs to have good manners with the people. Treat them well. Speak with the people with only that which is good. Enjoy the good and forbid the evil with one another. Adhere to brotherhood with one another. And this, no doubt, when it comes to the mannerisms, is one which should not be looked down upon, يعني. Rather, the Sunni, the one that is from Ahlul Sunnah, he's balanced in that affair. The one from Ahlul Sunnah is balanced in that affair. And alhamdulillah, we understand that as a reality, and these, alhamdulillah, are the three advices mentioned by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this narration. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, fabarakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khayra, wa sallallahu wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.